Harris, the author of Hot Season. That's all coming up, but first, Chris Andre, host Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary. Hey, thanks KBOO members for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for our Youth of Color Production Internship Program. This internship is open to people of color attending college and or under the age of 30. This is a six-month internship for 20 hours a week for $20 an hour. Responsibilities include the selection and preparation of KBOO content for national distribution using a variety of digital audio workstations and helping to develop a digital content strategy for promotion of KBOO content. Deadline to apply is Friday, January 27th at 5 p.m. More information, including skills and qualifications, can be found at kboo.fm/productionintern2017.
In Cascadia. Today is Thursday, January 19th, 2017. And so indeed the day does approach, the day that we thought would not come because it wasn't possible for it to come. We're still trying to speak with Steve Horn with the Smog blog. Yesterday, I believe he was on Flashpoints. There have been new developments, and that is exactly what we want to explore. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the World Economic Forum in Davos continues apace, and one would imagine that people who might otherwise enjoy the inauguration of Donald Trump might instead go to Davos instead. Better food, better accommodations, and similar climate. Much better scenery. Before we get rolling, first a little bit of weather, because connecting to climate, however damaged and dying it is, we still have a connection to it, and that will be our last breath of air on Earth. So that said, today I look for more rain, highs around 45, and tonight, off and on rain, lows around 37, a little bit of a breeze, 7 to 9 miles per hour, and Friday, the 20th, dawns, heavy overcast skies, highs near 43, and east wind 8 to 10 miles per hour. And as the light dies on Friday evening, 50-50 for showers and low around 38, and the wind dropping off, probably sensing why bother. Before we get rolling here, and as we wait hopefully to hear from Steve Horn, I just want to bring this to you. Cascadia won't be on tomorrow. We'll all be out in the streets. And don't forget, a protest with a permit is a parade. Okay, well, from William Butler Yeats, The Second Coming, and some of you out there might have guessed that this was coming. Turning and turning in the widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. the center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed and everywhere. The ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. You can guess where I stand on it. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image out of spiritus mundi troubles my sight, a vast waste of desert sand, a shape with lion body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun is moving its slow thighs, while all about it wind shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again. Now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Washington to be born. Okay, with apologies to Yeats. Well, natural selection is making education genes rarer, it turns out. Researchers have found that while the effect corresponds to a small drop in IQ per decade, over centuries the impact could be profound. The genes involved in education affected fertility too. Those who carried more education quotes, education genes, tended to have fewer children than others. Let me just run that by you again. According to the study, the genes involved in education affected fertility too. Those who carried more education genes tended to have fewer children than others. This is an interesting study because it certainly comes up against in running in parallel with a film that came out a while back that many said was prophetic, and now more so than ever. That film was, of course, Idiocracy. And who would have thought that on the eve of the inauguration of Donald Trump, the presidency, and maybe we like to spell that with a U, as in presidency, that the plot of Idiocracy would actually be backed up with scientific evidence, with actually cold, hard Icelandic research. That said, moving right along, over 100 million women around the world use the female contraceptive pill. Why isn't there a male alternative? And are there barriers to its creation, scientific or social? Spending longer. This is all part of the study that came out of Iceland. This is tied up with that research that we just referred to with regard to Idiocracy. Moving right along, though, water protectors across America this week have resisted four-plus pipelines, four and counting. This is of great significance because these actions are bracketed by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. weekend recognition. And, of course, the inauguration of Trump, in the middle of which First Nations people are taking a stand against the forces that have once again and continue and have done now for centuries have assault their dignity as a sovereign nation and the lands which they have occupied since time immemorial. And one of the ironies in all of this, the origins of these actions, Standing Rock, one of the suggestions was to reroute the pipeline away from Standing Rock, Lakota Sioux. Alas, it turns out that Standing Rock, Lakota Sioux territory, treaty or no treaty, actually covers every bit of the land. You can't actually find any land in North America that is not, but according to historically anyway, the property of First Nations peoples, who themselves would deny any meaning to the word property in the first place. Ownership of land for First Nations, of course, is something which can't be contemplated. There was no word for it, because it's not a concept that is acknowledged or recognized. Tribal justice is very different. It is far more humane than American justice, which we see on a daily basis, the results of that. Yesterday we had Chauncey Peltier on talking about the importance of calling the White House and asking President Obama to pardon, extend clemency to Leonard Peltier. If this day goes by and that hasn't happened, then we'll all know that we have failed in our responsibility, our obligation to justice, if there is such thing at all. So do, by all means, get on the horn. There's many different numbers. You go to that White House website. There are many, many ways to contact President Obama with your message to free Leonard Peltier before it is too late. And that said, Blackwater boss, you've got another doozy. It's like shooting ducks in a fish in a barrel coming up with stories today. I don't know where to begin and end. I'm trying to bring you the most salient matter that I can dredge up from the rising levels of swamp water in which we paddle. Former Blackwater CEO Eric Prince recently got back in the news when it emerged that he's serving as, wait for it, an informal advisor to Trump. And it's not the only time his office offered his services to the president. He played a key role in the conspiracy by rogue FBI agents to throw the election. This is again one of those items where it's difficult to tell the real from the false. The connection with Prince is of great significance. It should be a big problem, and it should present an ethical bind at the very least. There are so many things here that before he's even inaugurated, that Mr. Trump is impeachable for. These are incredible miscarriages of justice in the United States of America. It makes a mockery. Prince's advisor role. Giuliani revealed his contacts with FBI agents on orders from Trump, but Eric Prince did so on orders from either Steve Bannon or Trump. The problem being that these are a couple of guys who are known to be cowboys. The fact that Eric Prince went on Breitbart News so makes you wonder if Bannon was in some way involved also. Prince's advisor role, as well as the choice of his sister, is his sister being Betsy DeVos, education secretary, I guess. I suppose we are obliged to start referring to the delightful Miss Betsy as our new secretary of education. Again, coming full circle now back to the findings out of this Icelandic research that we actually are managing to make ourselves stupider and stupider. And those who have resisted this trend and still avail themselves of such education as is available are producing fewer children. And let's be careful of what we mean when we use that word education, because much of what is referred to as education in America is not. It's actually training. The idea being, if you grab children by the neck when they're very young, smash their face into a screen and leave them there for the rest of their lives, they'll be well trained and well able to enter the workforce as not as citizens, because that's all over with now, isn't it? They'll be entering the workforce as, of course, workers, consumers, because they are that being the raw material in the factories of wealth that's constantly turning out the likes of Donald Trump, who's virtually without any education whatsoever, but is well endowed in the wealth department, we don't want to know about any others, I suppose, when it comes down to the man who's about to be our next president. And on that note, this has been Air Cascadia for Thursday, January 19th, 2017. Rock Bergeron engineered for us today. Thanks for that, Rock. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand before it's too late.
Today on Flashpoints, we're proud to present a one-hour special of the Electronic Intifada podcast with host and producer Nora Barrels Friedman. My name is Mike Biggs, in for Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned.
The Electronic Intifada.
Intifada.
Intifada Electronic.